The primary election for Board of County Commissioners is coming up in less than a week on Tuesday, May 6th. Early voting is underway now through Saturday. And we are lucky to be joined at this hour by the two candidates for Orange County Board of Commissioners District 2, incumbent Earl McKee and challenger Mark Markopoulos. Over the next hour, we'll be talking with Earl and Mark about all of the issues related to the district towards the county. And there's a lot to talk about this hour, so we'll get right into it. Earl McKee, Mark Markopoulos, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So the way this will work will be very informal, as much of a conversation as possible. I'll throw out a question. We'll alternate who goes first every single time, and we'll have both of you answer the question and then just sort of throw open the floor to as much discussion as possible. We've got a bunch of questions to get through, and we'll try to get through as much of it as possible over the course of the hour. If you're listening to this live, you can send us a tweet at WCHL or get on our Facebook page if you'd like to suggest a question for the candidates. I'll be following that over the course of the hour. But we'll begin and we'll start alphabetically. It's really close alphabetically, but we'll start with Mark Markopoulos and go to Earl McKee. Just take a minute to answer this first sort of opening question. We'll talk about specific issues, schools, budget, economic development, and things like that over the course of the hour. But just begin by taking a minute to answer the generic question. In a nutshell, how do you differentiate yourself from your opponent? Mark, we'll start with you.
Well, I prefer just to describe the experiences that I've had in and out of government, in and out of business, in and out of different types of activism. I was on the Economic Development Commission in the late 90s. I served on the IWASA board from 1999 to 2006 during the great drought of 2001-2002. I was a chair of the board when we negotiated with UNC for them to use reclaimed water instead of expensive potable water for their chillers and their athletic fields. And I was on the planning board working on the Unified Development Ordinance and becoming familiar with zoning issues. On the other side of the table, I have defended my community against a landfill in 1992, actually helped to defend a lot of communities all across the county in 1992 from a landfill. UNC tried to site an airport in 2008, 2009, and in conjunction with my community members, we fought that back. I'm a small businessman, had my own company, Markopoulos Construction, since 1987, so I know the value of a small business. I've been involved in environmental and social justice issues going back 30, 40 years, and I just have developed an understanding of a wide range of issues, from alternative energy to environmental social justice issues and government stuff. And my kids are out of the house, and I feel like I can contribute by being a county commissioner.
Earl McKee.
I am a lifelong resident of Orange County. I graduated from Orange County school system, and once I graduated from North Carolina State with an agriculture degree, I came back to the farm where I've been actively farming for the last 40-plus years. During that time, I was involved in my church. I was involved in my community in some several civic organizations. And within the community, I helped form and served as not only a volunteer fireman, but also on the board of directors and pretty much all of the board positions, including president of that. In the late 2000s, I was appointed to the planning board, became more and more interested in issues affecting the county, and made the decision in 2010 to run. I actually made the decision earlier than that when I started attending board meetings. I attended about a year and a half board meetings before I formally decided to run for the position of this District 2 seat on the Board of Commissioners. Since then, I have served as your District 2 commissioner, and it was very quickly apparent that there is no I in team, and that the Board of Commissioners have to operate as a team in order to move Orange County forward.
All right, let's begin by talking about schools, and we'll open with Earl McKee and move to Mark Markopoulos. And again, just take a couple minutes to answer the question. We'll throw it open to as much discussion as we want before we have to move on. Orange County is responsible for funding two school districts. About 48% of the county's budget goes to schools each year. Between state-level cuts and other pressures, both districts are facing serious budget constraints. Both schools have asked for pretty significant per-pupil spending increases from county commissioners this year. not even counting the need for major repairs and new facilities possibly down the road for both districts as well. What is your plan to make sure the schools are fully funded or as fully funded as possible, Earl?
I think the key is the second part of your question, as fully funded as possible. The total funding request amounts to about $6 million just for operating expenses. And in our meeting last night with the schools, the potential capital expenses may be over the next decade or so as much as $300 million, which is quite a bit more than Orange County could bear at this particular time. But we are actually considering starting to look at a bond for capital expenses. On the operating side, Orange County residents are very fortunate to have not only what I consider to be the best public school system in North Carolina, but a situation in which the school boards and the Board of Commissioners actually work together to ensure that there's adequate funding. There were a couple of years in the late 2000s that there was no increase for school funding, but over the last 2 years, we have managed to fund about $100 and a few per student additional funding for the schools. That has helped tremendously in keeping teachers' aides and several other programs going. Going forward, I'm intending to do exactly what I've done for the last 2 years, and that is look for ways, look for different ideas that we can use to find additional monies to fund our schools. One thing that we did 2 years ago and again last year was refinancing some bonds at a lower interest rate, but that is out for this year because interest rates are actually rising, and we've basically picked all of the low fruit on the tree. So we're going to have to kind of think out of the box this time around.
Mark Markopoulos.
These are tough times financially. The state is making it very difficult for municipalities to meet their obligations to their citizens, and they seem to be waging battle on public education, which is really distressing. Having said that, we really need to maintain our school system. If we let it backslide, if we let it deteriorate, we will really have lost a central part of our community and a central part of our county in so many ways. You know, not only do we owe it to our children to maintain the school systems, but we owe it to the community in general, because businesses are not going to want to locate here if the school systems are in deterioration. Folks aren't going to want to move here. Folks aren't going to want to stay here. So as a builder, I know when I go into a customer's house and there's a repair and I give them the price, they say, well, they can't afford it now. I have to tell them if they don't fix it now, it's going to be double next year. So that's the situation we're in with the physical part. My heart goes out to the teachers who are working so hard for so little, and I would like to explore ways to give them the raise that the state is denying them. Having said that, tough choices will have to be made. And I imagine that the citizens of the county, the great majority of the citizens of the county, would support a bond because this is such a central part of our community.
Would you, Earl mentioned a minute ago, cutting ways to find money. We need to think outside the box, whether that's finding not low-hanging fruit, but I guess the lowest-hanging fruit, as it were, or other creative ways to find money to support the schools. Question for both of you, what ways would that be? What creative ways can we think of to support the schools in the next 2 years?
Well, Earl, we're going to have to look at every option on the table, whether it be further cuts in some county departments in order to find additional monies. But Orange County, again, we're very fortunate. We were not hit nearly as hard by the recession and the after effects as many other counties were. Our property taxes are continuing to rise because of additional building in Orange County. We're running ahead of schedule as far as our sales taxes. And we are currently blessed by having a little larger than or considerably larger than required reserve fund. And that's where we got some of the funding last year to come up with a few dollars for the extra funding. So it's basically everything is going to be on the table from me.
Mark Markopoulos?
It's going to have to be a creative process where, you know, look for a little bit here and a little bit there. I just don't think there's going to be enough to offset the need for a significant money that a bond would require.
We spend about 48% of our county's budget on schools. Are we content with that number as a target? Should it be higher or lower? Earl?
I'm not sure that we should be going specifically for a percentage. I think that we have got to look at the needs of the schools. We've got to look at the needs of the county, because we have multiple departments in the county that are critical to Orange County being able to remain a viable place to live, whether it's affordable housing, whether it's transportation needs in the rural part of the county, whether it is further funding for ambulance services, which are radically better than they were 3 or 4 years ago, or whether it's the police and the fire department. So we have a lot of needs, and it's going to be a balancing act. So I'm not looking at we're going to give 48.1% and not a dollar more or not a dollar less.
Mark Markopoulos?
I think the 48% has just been a convenient way to convey to the public the amount of money that goes into education. So it's a number that's in everyone's mind. But it can't really be linked to anything but the reality of what it costs. So that, you know, I don't think 48% should be regarded as a goal or anything. But, you know, like Earl said, I mean, one of the things that's impressed me as I've been campaigning and, learning more is our aging population it's just growing. You know, and that's a very important issue to address, especially aging people without a large income to support them. We have an obligation to take care of them as well.
Let's turn now to the budget as a whole, something that we've been talking about sort of already. We'll start with Mark Markopoulos and move to Earl McKee. Especially with high priority items like schools demanding more and more funding, the county is still facing budget pressure even as we're coming out of the recession. So two general questions. First of all, are there items on the county's budget that we're spending too much on that maybe you'd be willing to scale back or allocate resources elsewhere? Secondly, the county has made it through the entire recession without a tax increase or a property tax rate increase, rather. Do you see that streak continuing, or is it time to consider raising taxes? And specifically, under what circumstances would you consider voting for a tax increase? Mark?
Well, I'm not averse to the idea of a tax increase, but I'm sort of in the tradition of the county commissioners over my lifetime, really, in that we work with the available funds, work with the situation that we face, and we face a difficult financial situation. So our decisions we make now are going to be different than the ones that were made in the early 2000s when there was more money available. And it's a balancing act that, honestly, the commissioners have always worked well together on that issue and have been good stewards of our money. So there's no one that's been a tax slasher or, you know, some profligate spender. It's always been a sort of a common sense process of going through it and doing the best we can. And I worked on 7 budgets with OWASA, and I'm used to the process. So it's a matter of just going through it and doing the best you can to figure out how to balance all the needs.
Earl McKee?
As I mentioned last night in our meeting with the school, we received the school's budgets, and we haven't even had time to look over those. Our budget won't be presented to us by management for a couple of weeks. So I think it's a bit premature to say where I would look for additional cuts or whether I would be amenable or adverse to a tax increase. I will say again, as I've said quite often, I'm in generally adverse to having tax increases, but I'm not going to take it off the table. I think that once we look at our budget and we study it, and we figure out if we can make cuts in places to find additional monies to fund necessary projects, then we're going to have to look at the available funds and decide whether we have enough money. And that's when I will actually sit down and decide whether I can support a tax increase or not.
Staying with, Mark McCoubles.
So one idea that I've proposed that would help the financial health of the county moving forward is we need a sustainability manager in the county. The school systems have one, Chapel Hill has one, OWASA has one, and had one when I was on the board there, and they pay for themselves. They look at fuel and energy costs. They look at everything, you know, from paper to, you know, electrical usage, and figure out ways to cut it. And, I do energy audits on residential buildings, and I know that you can always find more ways to save. These positions pay for themselves. They lower overhead into the future going forward. And you might say, well, okay, that's just a little bit. But the fact of the matter is there's no silver bullet. You know, you've got to look at something that works, put that particular small project in place, look for another small project, and then they all add up, right? But that's one thing that will help.
Earl McKee.
While we do not have a specific position for sustainability manager, we do have what I consider one of the best finance officers available. And he does a very good job of bringing all options to the table, whether it is adding a geothermal heating and cooling system to a building, putting in some solar arrays on some buildings, or regardless of what the situation is. So when we get our budget, it's been gone through by management as well as our finance officer. I'm not denigrating the idea of the sustainability manager, because it possibly would be a very good idea. But I just want to be clear that we have a very careful staff that we rely on greatly.
And actually, to add to that, there is a guy that works in the maintenance department who is looking at county buildings' energy and water use. And his job is paying for itself, and I'm suggesting a job of wider scope. I mean, that's a good step, so I
right.
applaud the fact that the county has that.
You know, I think the county is very careful about how we look about making sure we're saving every dime that we can.
Earl, you mentioned this a few minutes ago, that there's no such thing as low-hanging fruit anymore. If thinking about all the lines on the budget, and we'll start with Mark and go back to Earl, is there anything that you would identify as the lowest hanging fruit, the first place that you would look if the county manager should come to you and says, look, we need to cut something?
Well, I would start with our solid waste situation. So we've been I got interested in the solid waste issue in 1991 when the county wanted to site these mega landfills. They wanted to site one landfill, but they picked 15 sites around the county. A whole lot of us across the county from east to west, north to south, got involved in understanding the solid waste situation and really stopping this poor approach to solid waste. So all these years later, we're still in a situation where we're shipping our waste to two transfer stations, like cumulatively, between the towns and UNC and the county and Hillsborough. You know, together, it's costing an extra $1 million a year. You know, on top of that, there's the truck pollution. We need to have a transfer station in Orange County. It needs to be near Chapel Hill, near I-40. Chapel Hill, you know, generates 70% or so of the waste, and it's the sensible place to put it. We can not only stop that hemorrhaging of money for the different governments, but we can then begin to work on the other parts of the solid waste plan. And who the immeasurable part of this is, what could we have accomplished had we not spent, you know, thousands of hours, you know, punting on solid waste, right? We could have been doing something else productive. And we seem to be in that cycle because the political will has not been there to take the next step. And the next step is to have our own transfer station. So that's real money, and that frees up time.
Earl.
I'm going to agree with Mark in the transfer station discussion. I did watch for a year or more while the commissioners attempted to site a transfer station, was beat back repeatedly. It's my understanding that Chapel Hill and Carrboro may be agreeable to leading the charge this time on a transfer station, possibly even where Mark has mentioned, out near the Chapel Hill Operations Center. And I would wholly support that, because Mark mentioned several expenses, but we're also having to buy different styles of trucks to do this hauling to Durham. This travel up and down the road back and forth to Durham doesn't seem to be a long distance, but when you do it several times a day, every week, every month, every year, it's going to wear these vehicles out very fast, and it's going to increase our cost. And keep in mind, with the closure of the landfill, we no longer receive tipping fees. We are now paying tipping fees out. So I have mentioned several times that I think that this entire solid waste department needs to be looked at. All of the parts of this department, and it's a very large, very intricate department. We have convenience centers, we have solid waste, we have recycling. So we need to look at that department. But another place that we can start looking is partnerships with either nonprofits or public-private partnerships. HYAA now handles a lot of the recreation needs for the baseball that was previously handled with, and to some extent was previously handled by our rec department. So I think that if we have civic organizations or groups in Orange County that can pick up some of the responsibilities and handle it well, like HYAA does with baseball, then we need to be talking to them. We also need to be in discussions with our towns about, can we combine some recreational and parks activities so that we're not duplicating, and possibly in other areas with the towns where we're not duplicating services and both spending money in effectively the same place.
Other points of collaboration with the towns?
I'd like to see collaboration with the towns all over. I'm not going to advocate for a consolidation of town-county functions, but I think collaboration is a major point, whether it is solid waste, whether it's recreation. We are going to have several people, several county people located in Chapel Hill's town building once they get it renovated for tax services. So that will make it a little bit easier if you live in Chapel Hill to actually drive over to the town offices rather than having to come to Hillsborough.
So, Mark Markopoulos, follow up on that?
Well, one example that has come up recently with the recycling tax district that was discussed, and it became apparent that was not a logical, common-sense idea because there were dense neighborhoods that like it, and then there were rural areas like where I live, actually outside the district, so it's not entirely applicable, but with long driveways where it didn't make sense. So think about these dense areas that are contiguous to the urban dense areas that are served. Why not partner with the towns to just expand that pickup out into that, you know, logically out into that area? So that's just one example that's come up recently that could help solve this problem partially.
Solid waste is actually the next topic on the list, so we'll just sort of
we'll
fade into that. both of you have sort of answered to the questions that I've got here, but just to throw out a couple more, and we'll start with Earl and go to Mark. Orange County has done a good job promoting waste reduction. What else can we do?
As I mentioned before, solid waste has been with us evidently a long time. It will be with us for a long time because we're not going to stop generating waste. What I think that is going to be critical is that we further our recycling efforts because every ton of recycled material is not being hauled to a landfill somewhere else. I do not believe, and I stand to be corrected, but I do not believe that Orange County will ever site another landfill. I've watched the attempt to site a transfer station, and that was a nightmare. I can only imagine what it would be to site a landfill. So we're going to be hauling this waste somewhere, and that somewhere is usually a low-income neighborhood that either will accept it because they need the funds, the tipping fees, or they're too poor to fight back. And so I think we're going to have to really expand our recycling efforts. If we can figure a way to do it, we need to be looking, and we are already talking with several companies about alternate methods of disposal, whether it's plasma or several other types of things, but they all require a larger waste stream than Orange County has. So we're going to need to work with our UNC. We're going to need to work with the towns. We're probably going to need to work with some regional partners in order to generate this type of a waste stream. And this is a solution that's down the road. But it's a solution we're going to have to continue to look at. We're also talking with Greenstream, with Waste Zero, and several other companies about options in the short term on pay-as-you-throw as well as composting.
And since you mentioned it, Earl, what should the plan be for rural recycling?
I in the discussion this past spring, I supported the subscription service because of the fact that the tax district encompassed a lot of unoccupied properties. It seemed to be inequitable. There were a lot of questions I had for the tax district. To be quite honest, when we had our meeting on April the 15th, there was not support for either the subscription service or the tax district. So in a way, we punted. In a way, we kicked the can down the road. But we did not have support on that board for either one of those options. So therefore, we're going to have to go back and look at that again.
Mark Markopoulos.
So it's critical to me that we site our own transfer station as the number one priority. It simplifies so many other things. We don't need another committee. We don't need to hire consultants. We just need to site that transfer station, and we need to site a recycling station next to it. The reason that's important is because you have to pick up recyclables and household waste together, or you run into the situation that we are in where county citizens are justifiably questioning why should they pay for the recycling to be picked up when they were just going to throw their household trash in the truck and go down to the convenience center that weekend, right? It has to be coupled. Cabarrus County is a state leader in recycling, and the system that they use is they pick up recycling for free, but they charge for the garbage, right? It's an elegant system because then people are going, okay, I'm going to get more recycled stuff. I'm going to recycle more. I'm not going to put my recycling in the trash. So they focus on what they can't use, what can't be recycled. So they're reducing waste. They're increasing recycling. And people are glad to be part of the program because, by and large, they're reducing their cost as they go. And then as the population grows, it pays for itself. So if we get the transfer station and the recycling station on the same plot, then we can think right after that about how do we pick up trash and recycling together. And then where I live, way out in the woods, you know, I'll just go to the convenience center, as so many of my neighbors are doing now. You know, we'll serve the density with that coupled pickup of solid waste and recycling.
Follow-ups to that? Yeah, Earl.
Yeah, that Mark's comments about the rural areas taking their garbage, taking their recyclables to the convenience centers is a valid point. And that was one of the reasons that I did not support the tax district concept, because so many of our rural residents do carry their recyclables to the convenience center. As I mentioned, we're going to have to, looking forward, to put all the options on the table. Several of Mark's comments are very valid concerns, are very valid points to make, and the things that we need to look at. So while I continue to call for an overall comprehensive look, we're going to have to figure out the best way to do this for all the citizens of Orange County.
Mark, follow up on that?
We have a really great solid waste staff, and I have talked to several of them, and I am convinced that there is very little that needs to be decided by an ongoing committee. I think we've been through the committee process. I think we need to take advantage of their expertise and just do it a step at a time, right? Not look for the overarching solution to all of the components of it, but just do the next thing that we know will help. And that's why I go back to the transfer station. Let's get that. We'll simplify so much. Stop us hemorrhaging money out of the recycling fund. And, you know, I'll just throw this out. There's about 20 years of landfill left in North Carolina. 10 or 15 years from now, let's say we get a transfer station, take a couple of years to get it set up if we act soon, 2 to 3 years. We control our waste stream that way. And then the landfills are filling up in North Carolina. We're reducing waste. I project that we will be reducing waste by composting, recycling better. We get the pickup thing figured out over the next 5 years, 6 years. Costs are going up at these landfills as the space becomes more valuable around the state. It may be then, 10 or 15, 18 years from now that we say, okay, we can site a small landfill. We can do the responsible thing and take care of our own waste in the county with a greatly reduced footprint. That's a possible scenario.
All right, we've got to take a quick break. We've covered a lot. There's a lot left to cover. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to our Candidates Forum featuring Earl McKee and Mark Markopoulos, both candidates for District 2 on the Orange County Board of Commissioners. Send us your questions. Tweet them to us at WCHL. We're monitoring that over the course of the hour. We'll be back with more after this.